So there was joy around here Thursday night, I hear, Stephanie. Sound like it was a great time Thursday night. And I love the fact that the theme was joy, which is perfect because of our theme today. And we all know that the Lord causes great joy. It's in His character. He loves to pass His joy along to us. And I think one of the greatest parts of the Christmas storyline is that God Almighty, El Shaddai, came to us in order for us to experience the loving touch of His covenant love. And what more than that can bring us great joy? Remember, many of you will remember this old, I think it was an old Gaither song, "He Touched Me. He Touched Me. Oh, He Touched Me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me. And He made me whole." There's something about the Christmas season that we are reminded of the reality that God Almighty wants to be near us, and He literally wants to touch us with His life. He loves to intervene in hopeless situations and bring joy out of sorrow. And the good news about that we're reminded of in this season is He doesn't do this from a distance. He personally steps into our lives with the touch of His presence, which can bring great joy out of sorrow and out of mourning. We heard it this morning in the Advent reading, the scripture that says, "Behold, I bring to you great joy." My daughter Stephanie celebrates a birthday this Wednesday. And about 3.5 years ago, her boyfriend came and asked if he could propose to Stephanie, asked for my permission, which was a good thing on his part to do. And he came and asked me, and I said, "Absolutely, Stephen." And so he said, "I'm not going to tell you, though, when I'm going to propose, because I don't want you to slip," which was really a smart thing on his part. So December 14th, 3 years ago, which is Stephanie's birthday, that morning, it was a Saturday morning, I believe, and I know that she and Stephen were going to go out on a date to celebrate her birthday, and I said, "Hey, maybe he'll propose tonight." And she goes, "Dad, he hasn't even talked to you yet." I go, I know, what is up with that? He hasn't even talked to me yet. What's wrong with him?" Well, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I just lied to my daughter. It was later that evening, she called with the news that Stephen had proposed on her birthday. And he did it right. He did it right. He had his mom and dad hiding in the car while he had her on a pathway with this lighted thing that when he pushed the button, it lit up and said, "Will you marry me?" It was great. And something like that brings great joy to a dad. And there are so many things in our lives, everyone, that are a result of the Father saying, "You know what? I would like to just pour out a little joy on so-and-so and this person at this time." That's the nature of His character. He loves to invade the life of His family with joy. And so I want to take us back to several centuries ago when this name of God, El Shaddai, God Almighty, which has in its root this whole idea of God's joy for us and in us, goes back to Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. And I want you to take a look at this passage with me and watch how, with the life of Abraham, all the way through Jacob and Isaac and Joseph, this theme of El Shaddai, this theme of God Almighty, begins to infect the world with God's joy. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I'm God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly." Now, I want to stop right there and just say this. I think that somehow or another, this is my idea, that the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at that time were sitting around and just talking about Abraham and his faithfulness and the reality that he had longed for several decades. He and his wife had longed for several decades that their infertility would come to an end. They probably had prayed many times, as we've prayed many times for different situations. And whatever, however God's sovereignty worked at that point in time, God said, you know what? Let's surprise Abraham and Sarah with some news that even is outside of their imagination. So in verse 3, it says, Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. El Shaddai, God Almighty. I want us to dive into the name of God Almighty, or El Shaddai, today. It's one of the Hebrew names for God, and as you can see, it typically is translated into English as God Almighty. The word El translated as God, and many scholars tell us that Shaddai comes from this Hebrew word, and I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, but it means, Shadu means mountain. The idea of El Shaddai, the interpretation is he's the Almighty One, or he's the one that can overpower any situation. And it speaks of his might in contrast to our weakness and our frailty. It describes the joy of God coming into impossible situations. Other scholars talk about El Shaddai and suggest that it means God's strength and his power. And throughout his friendship with us, as with Abram, with Abraham, delivering Abraham from his enemies, he brings a son to Abraham and Sarah, a son which brings great joy as a result of God Almighty invading their lives. There's other scholars that say Shaddai is from the Hebrew root word, which is shad, which literally means breast. And so the idea of El Shaddai is speaking of God Almighty as being someone as close as a mother who is nursing her newborn child. That close to us. God Almighty, not way out there, but God Almighty coming to us and hugging us and nurturing us and satisfying and supplying all of our needs as a mother would her child. It reminds us of John chapter 16, verse 21, when Jesus talks about that very idea. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Probably the reality is that every time a baby is born, a declaration should be made, and it probably is made throughout the heavens. Praise be to God Almighty, El Shaddai. It also describes not only the joy of a mother giving birth, but it describes the joy of his presence. And I want you to look at Psalm 16 this morning. It's good for us to look at the Psalms. But this one is filled with joy. One of my all-time favorite Psalms. And I have a lot of them, but this is in the top five. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take the names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion of my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God wants all of us to experience the reality of his presence. And a sure sign of the reality of his presence is when joy begins to bubble up, even when joy didn't seem like it was there in the first place. It comes from a place that we can't even imagine. It becomes something like rivers of living water that flow from our innermost being, even when the circumstances don't line up or parallel the joy that begins to come. And even though Almighty God is the more common translation, God, in addition to being Almighty, is also nurturing and sustaining. And ultimately, this aspect of his name describes his desire to be near us with his presence. And that's what we celebrate, isn't it, about Christmas? Messiah, the one who's God with us. It makes us think of John 1:14, when John describes in his account of the Christmas story, which is the most unique of all the Gospels, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory, the glory of, as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Not just a little bit of grace, not just enough grace, but full of grace and full of truth to cause everlasting joy to explode from within us, because he puts his joy in us with delight and love for each one of us. The paraphrase, the Message, takes this passage and says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. One of the things about this God Almighty is he loves to bless us with fruitfulness. He loves to pour out the essence of who he is, the essence of his character being full of joy and full of generosity. Anything, any smidgen of joy that we have, any taste of generosity we have, it doesn't come from anything within our own character, everybody. We all know that. We all know that when it comes down, push comes to shove, down inside, we're selfish creatures. It's like, think about it. Think about a one-year-old or a two-year-old. What's one of the first words that they learn? Mine. Mine. It's in our character. And the only thing that changes it is for us to open our arms and open our hands and say, Lord, I need you to invade me and permeate me with your joy and your presence and your fruitfulness. In the story of Jacob, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, if you go to Genesis chapter 28 with me in verse 3, and I want to look at a few passages in that story about the patriarchs where this name El Shaddai shows up. Genesis 28 verse 3, may God Almighty El Shaddai bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. You know, I was just thinking for a moment, speaking the name God Almighty El Shaddai would be a good thing to speak over Trinity Christian Chapel, don't you think? Let's say it. Let's say at the count of three, let's say El Shaddai, because El Shaddai declares, Lord, release your fruitfulness. Release more numbers. Release more joy. More joy that goes outside the four walls of this room. Ready? One, two, three. El Shaddai. Let's do it again. One, two, three. El Shaddai. God himself speaks to Jacob, and he identifies himself as El Shaddai, God Almighty, and he reminds Jacob of the covenant that was given way back there to Abraham when he was blessed with a son when his wife was barren and should not have been able to have children. And Jacob is to be fruitful as a result of this empowerment and this impartation. Jacob speaking to his sons in Genesis chapter 35, verse 11, says, "Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants." And in this verse, yet again, we're reminded that El Shaddai is the God Almighty who makes a covenant with his people, and he keeps his promises. And as Jacob blesses his sons, as they go looking for food in Egypt when there's this famine in the land, Jacob blesses his sons, asking once again the source of provision, God Almighty, El Shaddai, to bless them and to protect them and to grant them mercy as they go. Look at Genesis 43, verse 14. He says, "May God Almighty grant you mercy before the man being Joseph that they were going to, and may he send back your other brother in Benjamin. As for me, I'm bereaved of my children. I am bereaved." Basically, Jacob was saying, "I don't have any other way, anything else to depend upon except God Almighty." Maybe you're in that place this morning. Maybe you're in the place where you don't have anything else to depend on. You're tapped out. There's nothing left. You don't feel like you can take another step and put one foot in front of the other. And I want to declare over you and encourage you to declare over yourself, "I worship El Shaddai. I worship El Shaddai. I worship the generous one. I worship the one that's fruitful. I worship the one that wants to be near me and nourish me and feed me. I worship that one." And Jacob in Genesis 48 verse 3 says, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and he went from a place of bereavement and sadness," and he says, "and there he blessed me and said to me, I'm going to make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will make you a community of peoples, and I will give you this land as an everlasting possession to your descendants after you." Do you realize, everyone, someone about five decades ago or more were given the mandate and the impartation of the nature of this message, God Almighty, El Shaddai, over Trinity Christian Chapel. Someone had deposited a seed in their heart that said, "Plant a church here, and this church is going to be fruitful and impact the nations." And God's asking us to believe it. God's asking us to pick up the mantle and say, "I want to pick up the mantle that someone laid down several decades ago, and now I want to be the one that participates in holding up, as we declared last week, the banner of love, the banner of forgiveness, the banner of joy that says God Almighty rules and reigns over this place, and he's the one. He's the one. It's not dependent on you and me. He's the one, because we share that message that provides fruitfulness and growth that happens, and he brings the increase to this place." God's identified as God Almighty, the God who makes a covenant, promises, fruitfulness, and who always keeps his promises. And from these different passages, it seems that all the time this name for God is used to attach to God, the maker of covenant promises, the keeper of covenant promises, and the one that's powerful enough to fulfill all the promises that he makes. His powerful, sustaining presence continually overshadows our inadequacy, and he comes through every time to provide. That's why we know that we can be assured of the many things about him, but there are three quick dynamics that I want to give you about his character that should give us great joy. First of all, God is El Shaddai, who overcomes our inadequacy and makes us fruitful. Let me see if I'm of the right crowd. Is there anyone in this sanctuary that feels inadequate? Right? But we worship El Shaddai, who overcomes our inadequacy and makes us fruitful. Every time, as we've seen, that the name El Shaddai is used in the book of Genesis, it ties to the same way God's covenant promise makes man fruitful. God wants your life to be fruitful. El Shaddai wants to overcome your inadequacy and bring fruitfulness even out of different trials that we face. Let's face it, if he can cause a 99-year-old woman to be able to give birth, he can do most anything with any of us. El Shaddai continually overcomes our inadequacy. His powerful promises continue for our lives today. Our inadequacy shows up in all areas of life, most especially his holiness, and that's why we depend on El Shaddai, because it's not within our own character, it's what he imparts to us to make us holy and whole. In and of ourselves, we know that we're not enough. However, what we do know at the same time is that El Shaddai is always more than adequate. And that's why under a new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ and in his righteousness, we actually put on his robes of righteousness and we're able to declare to everyone around, especially to the enemy, I'm covered by El Shaddai. I'm covered by the one who always supplies. I'm covered by the one who always keeps his promises. I'm covered by the one who will always sustain me, even when it doesn't seem like the circumstances merit me believing that. And our part is to exercise our faith, to trust that God will do as he promised. And his part is to bring about fruitfulness. That's why Jesus taught us in John chapter 15, that we need to just rest and abide in him, because he's the resource of our fruit. He's the source of fruitfulness in contrast to all the efforts we make to strive and try to perform. And we need to learn to relax and trust El Shaddai to do his work. God is also El Shaddai, who keeps his promises. He always keeps his word. We always know we can trust him. We look back at his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and just like they trusted him and we see his faithfulness to his word every time, we can trust him to keep his promises for us today. What the writer of Hebrews was getting at in Hebrews 11, when he goes through the list of all the people that had faith, he recounts story after story of those who dared to believe God and trusted him to keep his promises. Now, let me remind you, this is not a cop-out. Last week, we talked about El Olam, God the Eternal One. Now, we have to remember that we worship one who's eternal. And I'm not trying to cop out here, but God will keep his promises. They may not happen in this finite time window that I have called life, because I live in a different time zone. So do you, by the way. Your time zone is not Eastern Standard Time. You realize that. Your time zone is Eternal Standard Time. And so because we live in an eternal time zone, that means the fulfillment of all the things that are going to happen, they will be fulfilled. But they may not be fulfilled in this Eastern Standard Time Zone. But we will see them filled in eternity. And it may be that we'll be with that great cloud of witness and we'll go, there it is. That's the one I was waiting for right there. And I want to encourage us that we never give up. We never give up until we take our last breath to believe that the promises will be kept. And after we take our last breath on this side, we get on the other side and we take that breath of eternity forever and ever, and we go, all right, now let's see how the rest of this is going to work out. We never grow discouraged or weary because we worship El Shaddai, the one who of whom Paul declared all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. His faithfulness, his fruitfulness produces great joy. His faithfulness to his promises also produces great joy. And then finally, God is El Shaddai who protects us. When Jacob sent his sons off to Egypt to find food, he prayed that El Shaddai would bless his sons and have mercy on them and protect them. And there's great comfort for all of us with the increase of illness and violence and evil in our world to know that the God we serve, El Shaddai, he protects us with his power. And it may not always look like it from human understanding that he's protecting us, but we can rest assured that he really is, and he is always faithful to the reality of what Jesus said, that within the security of the Almighty and throughout all of eternity, there is nothing, there is no one that will ever pluck us out of his hand. He's got a tight grip on you. Let that sink in for just a minute. You know, if you've had a little one that wants to get to the edge of the road and you're at a stoplight and they see Disney World on the other side of the stoplight, right? And there's a busy boulevard. All they see is Disney World. You see the busy boulevard. And they get ready to go charging across the crosswalk to get to Disney World, right? What do you do as a father or mother? Have fun! Right? No, what you do is you grab that little boy or girl as tightly as you can and say, no, you cannot go yet. And there are times we're seeing something out there and the Lord says, I got you. I got you. And there are other distractions that come into our life. There are other temptations that come our way and the enemy's trying to pull us. And the Father says, uh-uh. It's my turn to be the two-year-old. He's mine. She's mine. They belong to me because El Shaddai is the one who always protects us. Hebrews chapter 12 gives us a description of what Jesus did and encourages us with these words, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, there's a lot of interpretations of what the joy was. But I think there's two aspects that are pretty accurate. One is the joy of Jesus being back with the Father and saying, Father, I've restored creation back to us. He was filled with joy for that. But the other is the joy that he has. Because the scripture says when a sinner comes home, what's it say happens in heaven? There's a rejoicing in heaven, right? They have a big party in heaven. So I think the joy that was set before him is that all the times you came home, when you came home to know him and Christ came into your life and salvation filled your life and glory filled your soul and all those things that all the old songs say, when all that happened, that was the joy that was set before Jesus. Because he looks at the Father and he goes, ha, 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 we got another one. We got another one. We've got another brother. We've got another sister and another brother and another sister. And they're having joy all the time. They're just having one big party over all of us all the time as they watch us serve him and follow him. I mean, one of the funnest things to think about having a baptism service at Christmas time? Do you realize how much celebration there's going to be in heaven next Sunday when we have a baptism service at Christmas? Because all of heaven's rejoicing already, and it's just going to be like a little bit, we get extra cupcakes today, Father. This is great. This is fantastic. Remember the story in the New Testament? Big crowd of people around Jesus. disciples are trying to pretend to navigate the crowd. And in the middle of all the crowd, Jesus stops and he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples go, "Jesus, you know, we're getting better at this, but come on. I mean, there's people touching you all over the place." And he goes, "No. Somebody touched me." And a woman who the scripture says had an issue of blood for several years, I forget exactly how many, she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, probably his prayer shawl. And he felt that touch. Maybe this morning, you feel like El Shaddai is as far as you can imagine from here. Maybe this morning you imagine that he ran out of joy. The joy bucket's empty. And there's none left for you. But I guarantee you that the same Jesus who was able to acknowledge that someone in the crowd touched him, and then he turned to that woman, he said, "Today you're healed." That same Jesus is the one we serve this morning. And I just encourage you, all we need to do is reach out and touch him. Remember the song I mentioned at the beginning? "He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole." I encourage you to reach out and touch him and recognize that he certainly will touch you back. He's the one who overcomes our circumstances. He's the one who keeps his promises. He's the one who protects us. In a few minutes, we're going to end our service by singing "Joy to the World." But before we do that, I want us to listen to an older song that many of you will recognize that Amy Grant did several years ago around this word, this title, El Shaddai. What I want to encourage you to do is we watch. It's just going to be the video playing with the lyrics on the screen. But as we watch and listen, I want to ask and encourage every one of you, as I pray in just a moment, that you will allow the Lord to touch you in this Christmas season in a fresh, new way. Not yesterday's old bread, but something new. So I encourage you just to reflect and pray as you watch this video. And then after that, the worship team will come and lead us in our closing song.
El Shaddai, El Yonah, Adonai, H2A. Through the years, you made it clear that the time of Christ was near, though the people could.